So we're going to start off with something we've never done before at Enrich Church. And you're thinking, like, what is he going to do now? Because he maybe has boxes of different things he gives people to open up, and who knows what's inside. But how many of you like dad jokes? A few? Okay. You know, how many of you are dads that tell dad jokes? How many? There we go. How many of you are going to be dads that practice dad jokes? Right, a few of us. Okay, are you ready for this? So I bought some shredded wheat, but it was a con. It was no more muscular than the regular wheat. Shredded. Shredded. Like Jaime over here, shredded. He's like, what? Okay, I got another one for you. What did the baby corn say to the mama corn? Where's popcorn? Okay. At least one person likes it over here. All right, the last one, if you don't get this one, I'm so sorry. What do you call a sheep with no legs? A cloud. Oh, just said it. Yeah. So these jokes will totally connect with the scripture today. Don't worry. We're going to get somewhere. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to open up to Matthew chapter 9. And if you need a paper Bible, George will go around and he'll pass them out to anybody who needs some. But Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Anybody need a Bible? This past Thursday was my son's birthday, and he got to choose how he wanted to design the day. So we have a couple passes to different places in the region. And he wanted to do Discovery Cube in the morning and Knott's Berry Farm in the afternoon. So it was a full day of fun, a ton of people walking around and done. And when I went out that morning, I took three Gospels of John. So Laura talked about it earlier. She had one with her. I took three. And I was determined. I said, Lord, I have three Gospels of John. I'm going to carry these around all day. Send me three people you want me to give these to. So when we were at the Discovery Cube, there were tons of people. There were so many buses there of all these kids and parents and stuff. And I'm just trying to find the person. Like, Lord, who's the one person that you want me to connect with today to encourage and to share your love with them and to give this gospel of John to? And I couldn't really find anyone to connect with, just with all the crazy going on. And then when you leave there, there's a gift shop. In the gift shop, there was no one in there. It was just me, my kids, and Meredith. And then there was the worker. And I walked back out to go take a look at the shark area. There's like all these sharks swimming. It was pretty fun. And I went back in. I just felt all of a sudden God's peace come on me. And in that space, I'm like, I think it's going to be the person who's at the counter I'm supposed to connect with. So my kids wanted to buy these like really colorful rocks. They're like, you know, 60 cents. And they wanted to buy it with their own money. So we go to pay for these rocks. And I just start striking up a conversation with a young guy there. He's in college. Just ask him about what he's doing for college and what he's learning about, what he wants to do with his life. And I was just like, hey, bro. Can I pray for you that God would bless your future and open up the door to go into nursing that you're wanting to do? And he was like, I'm not supposed to pray here at work. And I said, it's okay. Just keep your eyes open. We'll just act like we're talking. No one know. And so we just start praying and our eyes are open. And then I just go into my Jesus story, how he's changed my life, and, you know, share Jesus with him. And hey, man, do you want to believe in Jesus too and start a relationship today? He wasn't ready at that moment, but he was definitely open and taking the gospel of John to learn more. And so as we go, there's people everywhere that Jesus wants us to connect with, to share his love with them, that are either wanting to hear about him and start that relationship, or it might take some time over, you know, a period of years, and that person finally says, yeah, I want to believe in Jesus for the first time. So the harvest around us is huge and ripe. Everywhere we go, people are being prepared by the Holy Spirit to come to know Jesus. So one of the conditions that God has given us here at Enrich Church to become a healthy, multiplying church, which means a church that we're healthy as a church, and that we're planting churches that plant churches that plant churches, and then they multiply out to reach more people for Jesus. That condition is to pray for laborers for the harvest. So as y'all got in the Word, it says you got to pray for these laborers to be sent into the harvest, to be sent out to reach people for Jesus. So we're going to dig in the Word together and look at what does that mean, how does it apply to us, and then how do we do it as a church, and how do we do it individually as we go and live our lives on the daily. So check out verse 35. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of sickness and every kind of disease and illness. So notice here that Jesus, he set a model for us. As he would go on his daily life, he'd go to these different places and he would share the good news with people. He'd talk about the kingdom of God and how that could impact and transform and change their lives. And you notice what he also did? He healed sicknesses and diseases everywhere he went. So he set up this model. And everything that Jesus does in the Bible, we're called to do and can do too. So as we go, he's setting this example. Go and tell people about the kingdom and pray for them that Jesus would heal their bodies and transform them physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I mean, Sandra is the Hungarian way to say it. She had an encounter where this is a couple years ago, she got prayed for and her back got instantly, significantly healed. And there's people in our church here who've either been prayed for or prayed for others and seen them healed physically. And Jesus does this because he loves people. He wants them to encounter his love in a very tangible way. It says, I am real, I see you, I'm in your life. And did you notice that he went to places, they were like cities and villages? So I checked this out in the Greek if you want to nerd out for a moment. The cities had walls and the villages didn't. That's basically what it was. So the cities were more the developed places and the villages were kind of like the off the grid places. So when you think about in your life, like what are the cities in your life that you can go to and what are the villages, the off the grid places that Jesus wants to send you to? Because there's people everywhere that are off the grid and people that are on the grid that maybe are like kind of like the people that have it all, look like they have it all together and people that don't. So there's these people everywhere that Jesus wants to go to. How many of y'all are familiar with the phrase unreached people groups? Anyone ever heard this before? Yeah, so unreached people groups. These are people, there's literally groups of people in the world today who've never heard the name of Jesus. So if you've ever heard of the 1040 window, it's the longitude, latitude on the globe, 1040. It's a lot of it's like the Middle East and that southeast part of Asia. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of people groups that have literally never heard the name of Jesus before. And we have access to the gospel a lot here, easier in the West, but there's people that literally don't have access to know who Jesus is. They don't have access to a Bible that's been translated in their own language yet. But there's people who are off the grid in these unreached people groups that Jesus wants to send people to. And I believe in our church through time, Jesus will raise up people who want to be missionaries in terms of will want to go to a different country and a different culture and learn everything like that to reach people for the gospel of Jesus. And so eventually we'll be sending people to serve in these places amongst unreached people groups. And you might find yourself as one of those people along the way. So Jesus sets the model, if you catch this. He taught the word, he preached the gospel, and he prayed for people. And so he taught the word. He had to know the scriptures. He preached the gospel. He was able to explain Jesus to people in a way himself, right? The kingdom in a way that they could receive him. And then he prayed for people in a way that had impact that transformed their life in a moment. So we'll see how he plays this out. Jump into verse 36. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now, how many of y'all ever been to like a farm or a petting zoo and you see the big old sheep that's there? You ever see how smart sheep are and all that they do? They don't really do anything, right? They kind of just stand there and they don't really do anything else. And if you think about a sheep, If it didn't have someone to watch over it, it would literally die. Like, it wouldn't know how to go get food or water. It would get eaten by a coyote or a wolf, right? It's literally so helpless. And that's what Jesus said these people are like. They are so helpless, they don't know how to do anything themselves. They are like sheep without a shepherd. They need a shepherd to go to them and to be their leader and to guide the flock. Did you notice that what moved Jesus was compassion? He had this internal motivation that came up from within him. He had compassion on these people. And we have to ask ourselves a real tough question. If we do know Jesus ourselves, do we have compassion for people who don't know Jesus? Do we even care? Or do we just keep living our lives like walking on the daily, just walking past all these people, walking past family members and friends, with never sharing Jesus with people? And I had this point in my journey where I'll be honest with you, and I had to be honest with myself. I didn't care if people were going to hell. Because if I did, I would have been sharing Jesus with people. And it was one of those moments where I was like, I was so convicted. And I just got on my knees and I was like, honestly, Jesus, I don't care if you are going to hell because I'm not making a difference. I'm not sharing Jesus. I'm not sharing you with people. So I'm going to start right here and just say, will you change my heart? And it just started off with a simple getting on my knees saying, will you change my heart? And I began to take action as he was changing my heart. and these conditions where Jesus had compassion for the crowds, he says they were troubled and harassed. So they had all these external circumstances and pressures. They had all this stuff messing with their life. They had no one to protect them. They basically, the Greek says, they were like literally pushed down. And when Laura shared her story up here, she had all this internal stuff going on within her that Jesus had healed up and made holy, cleaned out. And she says, I'm ready to start doing this with other people. Do you notice that process she went through? She was like a, it's okay if I say this, Laura, like this was me too prior, because I went through my process of getting healed. My whole, we were like helpless sheep, right? But then Jesus comes and transforms us, and he says, all right, now you're my shepherd. Now go to the people and go to the flock that I'm calling you to. So Jesus wants you to go from being that sheep, that helpless sheep, to being a shepherd. You're a leader, because shepherds, they care for and they protect and they lead their flocks. Jesus wants you to become a leader. So think of yourself before Jesus. I mean, who were you before Jesus? We were all helpless, right? We were lost. We were hopeless. We had all this stuff going on. And then Jesus came into our lives and he transformed us. And so at Enrich, how do we develop shepherds? How do we develop these leaders? And that's what Laura so, you know, greatly articulated. So when we come here on Sunday morning, Enrich Church basically is a training center. We're a bit different than a traditional church. Everything here we do is designed to train people. Because did you notice that I didn't read the scriptures to you to get into the word? I had you read them yourself and ask some questions. We're literally training everybody how to read the scriptures on your own, so that when you go Monday through Saturday, you can get in the word in every day and start going deep. One of the things we do is we train everybody to be a seed sower. So Rick's going to come up at the end. He's going to demonstrate what does that look like for us. We train everybody to share, man, how has Jesus changed your life? Like, who were you before Jesus? How did you meet him? And how has he changed you? And when you share that Jesus story, people are going to be like, man, he changed your life. I want him to change my life too. And then you share, this is how you start a relationship with Jesus. And the fourth Friday of this month, we'd love to have you come out. We do seed sower training. You're like, Jared, that is a lot. How do I do that? We're going to give you some hands-on training at the Covina Farmers Market, 5:30 p.m. Come out, and we're going to train you how to go out and share Jesus with people. And it's actually way simpler than you think. And when you do it with other people, a lot of that fear washes away. Like when I go out with our team or watch our teams go out, there's like a boldness that comes on us. I get like 10 times more bold. Like when I went out with Ethan the one time, I was so bold and I just went for it. This is when you work together as a team, right? Then you see that boldness increase. And Lord talked about a discovery Bible study too. Like if you're not in a discovery Bible study, we will get you in one or we'll help you start one. And that sheet we have that we handed out in the back of that, that's literally discovery Bible study. You can go home and you can start that with your kids. You can do it once a week with your kids. Or you do it with a family member who's open to God and wanting to learn more. You do it with a friend at school or someone at work on your lunch break, right? You can start these discovery Bible studies everywhere. And our goal is that everybody at Enrich Church is trained to lead a discovery Bible study. And then for those that want to go even deeper, we have discipleship foundations and Healed and Made Whole. So that's both those together about 15 weeks. But man, if you invest 15 weeks into that, you're going to be a transformed person, guaranteed. Jesus is going to transform you from the inside out. He's going to make you a new person. And then the goal is to do this, make you into a shepherd, to make you into a leader, where you're discipling 2 to 3 people individually, or you're starting 1 to 3 groups, either of these discovery Bible studies or these discipleship tracks where you're meeting with people. And then the ultimate goal is that people like Ethan here and Jen, they're planting a church in Arcadia, right? So we want to be a church that plants churches. We want to raise up church planters and send them out to reach more people for Jesus. So you can see how Jesus says, look at all these sheep around you everywhere. They're harassed and helpless. And he says, are you willing? Are you willing to be a shepherd? Are you willing to go and to shepherd these flocks and to be a leader for them? Because everybody here, all of you have the capacity to be a shepherd. Every single one of us. And here's why. Because he's given you the Holy Spirit. That is God himself living inside of you. You've believed in Jesus. You've received the Holy Spirit. You got God in you. You can do it. And we're a culture where we don't just train you and send you off and say good luck. We actually journey with you through the process and walk you step by step how to do this. We want to train really well. So let's get into the depth of this, of how this all comes together. So verse 37 and 38, Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his field. So imagine me at Discovery Cube, right? Or wherever you went this week, where there's a ton of people. If you look at that group of people, most of those people don't know Jesus. And most of those people will be separated for eternity from Jesus if they don't come to know him. And he says, there are, the opportunity is so huge, but the people who are working in the harvest are so few. The Greek word literally means they're scarce, right? It's so scarce that the workers are not going into the harvest, but Jesus wants them going to the harvest. I was at this church planter gathering about 2 weeks ago, and a planter was trying to discern, like, where should I plant this church? He was discerning the two areas and stuff. And God put a word in my heart for him. It was a scripture connected with him. And I said this to him. I said, the harvest is great and huge, but the workers are few in, and I named his city. And from his cultural background, doesn't show a lot of emotion. He started crying. And I was like, dang, Holy Spirit, you hit something here with him. And he went on to share more. It was 18 years prior when he felt his call to a mission field. It was that same verse that the Lord spoke to him. And the Holy Spirit gave me that word to speak to him. And he didn't realize the city he lived in, there was so much harvest opportunity and there's so few workers who were there. He's like, that's it. That's where I'm called to be. And when I was at a Knott's Berry Farm, anyone ever been to Knott's Berry Farm? It's kind of like if you can't afford Disneyland, you go to Knott's Berry Farm. Like, so we have passes there. So my kids love it. It's so good for kids. And I had two more Gospels of John left over, and I always carry around a Now That You're Saved booklet too. It's like a next step after you know Jesus. And I was praying a ton. I was like, man, I haven't come across anyone. And Andrew wanted to do this last ride. The line was like an hour, but it's his birthday. So we're like, all right, we'll do it. So we got in line and I'm praying. And the harvest is so big in front of me. I'm like, Lord, who do I talk to? And then after like 30 minutes, there are these two guys behind me, as a father and a son. And I just started up a conversation. So if you notice, even the connect question is training. It's how do you build a bridge with someone to start a conversation? So I just asked the guys, like, hey, you guys from the area? And they were from the area. So I just started talking with them. And then I shared just a little bit about us. And I was connecting with his story of property management. I worked in housing at a university. And then from there, I just was, I left the university job to start this church. And I just bridged into, I just shared how Jesus changed my life. I shared the gospel with them. And guess what they did right there? They're like, yeah, I want to believe in Jesus today. And so it was these two guys, his father and the son right there, believed in Jesus together, prayed with them, shared about how to follow Jesus. What does that begin to look like to read the word? Gave them Gospels of John, and then Meredith had an extra Now That You're Saved. So we gave them both of those and taught them how to read the Bible together and to begin to follow Jesus. So everywhere we go, I mean, there's people everywhere that are waiting to hear about Jesus. And so many people in their hearts are crying out. And people look like they got it together in our culture here in the U.S., but so many people are broken and falling apart. Like, it's all, most of it's a facade. Like, if you could take it off, like, there people are falling apart inside. They need hope. So this harvest in front of us is plentiful. It's great. It is huge. But the laborers, the workers, they're so scarce. Like, Jesus is literally looking for laborers, workers to go and just to simply start sharing Jesus with people. And the key to make that happen is prayer. We literally get on our knees and cry out to Jesus to pray for him to send harvesters. So every single day I'm praying for Jesus to raise up harvesters, raise up laborers in the San Gabriel Valley. We have a map of the San Gabriel Valley with all the cities, and I'm praying over every city that God raises up laborers in every city who are going to lead Discovery Bible studies, discipleship foundations, healed made whole, and plant churches. And that's what I told Jesus. I said, Jesus, you connect me with them and I'll train them and I'll get them on the field and I'll help them stay. So as we pray as a church and as you pray for God to raise up workers for his harvest, he's going to be raising them up and he's going to raise you up too because he wants you to join his harvest. And catch that, it's his harvest. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest. So as Jesus' harvest, he's just asking us if we're willing to be his workers. So we have to be specific in how we pray and asking Jesus to send out workers into his harvest. The word send in the harvest there is the word ekbalo. It's the same word that is used when casting out demons when Jesus does that. It's actually a very forceful word. So it's like literally force laborers into the harvest. And I was like, why do you need to force them so strongly into the harvest? I was like, because they need breakthrough. Because when you go into the harvest, guess what's going to try and stop you? Everything. Excuses from our flesh, the enemy. Stuff starts happening in our life that I call clockwork that Satan just throws in your path and tries to like get you off course. So he needs to give you power to force you into the harvest to break through all these things that are standing in your way. So we have to be honest and ask ourselves this question. If you're a believer in Jesus, what is stopping you? What is stopping us from being a worker in Jesus's harvest? What is it for you? What keeps you from it? So if you're thinking about, like, what's the profile of a laborer? What does a profile of a worker look like in Jesus' harvest? It's simply this. It's obedience to go into the harvest. Because as we go to the store, we connect with, like, our mom's group throughout the week, or we're in class, or we're at work. Like, there's literally a harvest everywhere. And the first step is obedience to go into the harvest. And then Jesus is the model. He went into the harvest. I know, sorry, there's a helicopter flying right over. So Jesus is our model. He showed us that he went into the harvest. He went amongst the people. He taught the word. He preached the good news about himself, the kingdom of God. And then he prayed for people and they got healed. They encountered God. And then he showed them how to be a shepherd, to lead and to protect. And then what Jesus did is he reproduced himself. He trained his disciples to do exactly what he did, to go out and be a laborer in the harvest. So there's those times in our lives where it's like we make a choice, like a fork in the road. And it's like, all right, am I willing to turn my life to be a laborer, a worker in Jesus' harvest? Is today the day I'm going to say, okay, Jesus, I'm willing to do it. You just got to show me. Like, if I got to meet with Jared or Meredith to get some training, like, we'll meet with you. We met with Selah on Google Meet last week, and we trained her how to start a Discover Bible study. She's going to start one at home this summer in a park with her friends and neighbors. That's what she's intending to do. So we'll train you and we'll support you. We'll give you everything you need. If you're like, I don't know how to do it, we'll figure out a time to meet and we'll do it together. And I'll tell you this, there is never a convenient time. There's never a convenient time to do this, because I'm a normal person just like everybody here. There's times I just want to go to a place. I want to duck my head. I just want to get in and out, like the burger, and I just want to go home. But if I go in there, my eyes up, looking to the harvest, it's okay, Jesus, my life is yours. My time is yours. You can interrupt, do whatever you want to do. I'm in. And as you go in with those eyes, he's going to show you exactly who to go to. And you're going to find people are ready and willing to surrender their lives to Jesus and be all in with him and receive his love and forgiveness and start that relationship with God. So we're going to do this. If you're like, today's the day I want to do that, and you've never made that decision, I'm going to invite you to stand, because I'm going to pray over you and ask God to release that grace. And if you're like, I got to stand in front of these people, oh man, Jesus calls us to stand in front of all people. He doesn't want us to ever be afraid. But if you're like, hey, today is not the day for me, but my decision is to think about it, to move forward, then that's an awesome decision. But how do you want to start moving forward in that process? Even if you're like recently saved, like come to Jesus, just in like the past week or two, he literally says, now you're my worker. Take what I've given to you and begin to give this to others as you get discipled as well. And what's so important about this, I'm going to invite you to stand in a moment, is I'm going to pray over you. When you receive prayer from someone, you get grace released in your life. It actually activates you and gives you an ability to start living this out. But when you receive that grace, you actually have to start applying it to your life. Because it's like if you get a bag of really nice tools, but you never use them. It's like, I have all these tools sitting here, but I've never used them. But you have to get the tools out and start using them. And then when you use the tools, you learn how to use them to an expert level. So if that's you today and you're here and you're like, okay, I want to become a worker today in the harvest. I want God to send me out. I'm going to invite you to stand and I'm going to pray over you. And then Rick's going to come up and share something. So if that's you, I'm going to invite you to stand. If you're already a worker in the harvest, I'm going to pray over you too for more and increase. So this is your opportunity if you want to stand and get prayed for. Okay, cool. And no pressure. This is for those that would want that and say, now this is between you and Jesus, right? So this is you saying to him, I'm willing to start doing this, live my life in this way. So you can open your hearts or your hands to him and you can receive grace from him. Because I know some of you too, this come to my heart, like God, family and friends that don't know Jesus yet. And he's calling you to be a worker for him, to go and share his love with them and to start sharing the gospel and start these Discovery Bible studies. So Jesus, for everybody that says, okay, I'm willing to do this, we thank you, Jesus, that you are meeting with them right now and that you are activating them as workers in your harvest. So Jesus, I ask that you would release a grace in the life of everybody that is saying, yes, I am willing to be a worker in your harvest, that wherever I go, I will look up and see how huge and ripe the harvest is in front of me, and I will go after the one that you show me. I'll stop for the one, and I'll invest my time, and I'll build that relationship, and I'll connect them to discipleship, to enrich, and Lord, we'll get them in a deep relationship with you that they can go out and do the same things. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd release increased boldness right now in everybody that is saying, I'm willing and I'm wanting to do this. Will you show me the way? And I ask that you would release an increased measure of faith to believe that when you go out, Jesus is already preparing people who are ready to receive you because you carry good news of salvation and a relationship with God through Jesus. And Father, I ask that right now, that by your grace and through Jesus, that you would pour out your Spirit. I ask, Jesus, that you'd baptize your people right now in the Spirit, giving them an infilling of your Spirit, because it says in Acts 1:8, the Spirit will come upon you and you'll be witnesses. So you will receive boldness, you will receive the courage, the faith, and the efficiency, effectiveness to be a witness for Jesus. And as you take this, you will begin to see a few people come to Jesus, and then more and more and more. You'll see momentum over your life, that you will actually have the ability to lead hundreds of people to Jesus throughout your lifetime, that this is actually the biblical norm, that this will be your lifestyle. So Jesus, would you seal this by your Spirit in each person here? Would you give them the training that they need to be successful as a worker in your harvest? And would you use them to call up others, to train others in the harvest, to join alongside of them for people that are lost and hopeless and helpless like the sheep? But would you make us shepherds and leaders in your kingdom? In Jesus' name, amen.